Yes, sir.
Would all senators indicate their presence by voting? Secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 20 members present. Senator Petula is excused from the call of the Senate today, although he's here.
Our chaplain today is Pastor W.D. Kirk of the Glacier Valley Baptist Church.
Oh Lord, our God, we thank you for this new day and the assurance of your eternal promise. We thank you for our heritage, a heritage of truth, integrity, and noble statesmanship. We pray that as we have received, so may we pass on to future generations the same heritage that is more noble and enduring.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 57th legislative day and Senate supplement number 14.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move action on the journal for the 57th legislative day and Senate supplement number 14 be approved to serve the journal.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. Introduction of guests, Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, it's a great privilege to introduce the Student Advisory Committee and the coordinator from the Nolan Belts High School. And as I call your name, you stand, please. Gloria Carmen, Peggy at Knock Knock, Susan Luke, Phyllis at Knock Knock, Renate Armstrong, Mark Pearson, John Hendelin, Vera Pettia, and the coordinator is Richard Burmaster.
Senator Ray.
President, in this gallery, we have the mic assistant tonight, Junior High School with Karen Lucy Hudson. And when I call your name, please stand up. Kelly Kendall, Kathy Eldemar, Carla Mackey, Karen Erickson, Vaughn Ellers, Becky Orlikney, Rhoda Dalton, Candy Hanna, Steve Giffen, Karen Jewell, Karen Peterson, and Andrea Dillon.
Any further introduction of guests? Senator Orsini.
I move to take up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 299 this time.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, I move and ask the matter to consent to return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, committee substitute for Senate Bill number 399 is returned to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment. Senator Orsini, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, I move to adopt amendment number one after first reading.
Amendment number one by Senator Orsini, line 16, change 41,600 to $51,525. Line 17, change 27,100 to $17,175.
Senator Orsini?
Mr. President, as was discussed yesterday, this was an emergency appropriation due to the high water on the Russian River. Spawning salmon, red salmon, had to be helicoptered over a particularly high-flowing area back to the lake so they could spawn. In discussion with the Department of Fish and Game, they informed me that actually both runs, both the early and the late run of the salmon, had to be so transported. When you look at the catch of the total run, approximately three quarters of the fish are caught by commercial fishermen, and approximately one quarter are caught by sports fishermen. As was discussed yesterday, the early run is almost one is almost wholly caught by commercial fishing, and if we consider both runs, the amount was approximately 3/4 for commercial and 1/4 for sports fishing. And the appropriation of the funding is in that ratio, 1/4 of the total funds from the fish and game, 3/4 from the general fund. These fish and game funds are solely come from the licenses of fish and game. Because of the nature in which matching funding is normally obtained from the federal government, no federal funds can be allocated toward this use. So strictly the money paid by fish and game license fees that comes out of the fish and game fund. Of course, the 200,000 sports fishermen in the state of Alaska are also taxpayers who pay a portion of the general fund, money that's going to the benefit of the commercial fishermen. So it's really, the sports fishermen really pay a portion of both. They completely pay the fish and game fund and a portion of the general fund.
Any further discussion or debate? Senator Buttrovich.
Mr. President, I rise in opposition to the amendment. We had both the commercial people and the sport, the director of sport fish, before the committee, and the sports people did not suggest that we make any different allocation of the funds than we had in the bill as it was passed yesterday. We can do this with every piece of legislation, I suppose, Mr. President, that involves sport and commercial fish. Personally, I happen to be a sports fisherman, but it borders on nitpicking. I'm of the opinion that if the Department of Sports Fish had a beef with this piece of legislation, they would have communicated to us at the time they appeared before the committee. They did not. The figures I have are not my figures. They're figures that were submitted to me by the department, which represents both sport and commercial fish, and I think we should not adopt the amendment.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, this particular allocation of funding, as was testified in the committee, was based on basically the first run was the cost of transporting the fish from the first run was picked up or was allocated to the sports fish, and the cost of the second transportation was allocated to the commercial fish. And that's how the numbers, the portion came to be. But when you look at the total run, it is not a great deal of difference. Perhaps that's why the department didn't want to get into a hassle over it. But if there's $10,000 that would otherwise come out of the license fees, that will have to be picked up originally if we don't adopt the amendment.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Senator Huber.
Could we have the amendment read one more time, please?
Would the secretary read the amendment number one by Senator Orsini?
On page 1, line 16, change $41,600 to $51,525. On line 17, change $27,100 to $17,175.
Mr. President, we want a roll call.
Senator Coletta. Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Is there any more discussion? Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, I cannot believe this. Approximately a 30-70 ratio was understood, I think, in the Finance Committee. In any event, we let $1 million slip through the cracks every fourth or fifth week around here, and we get an argument over an allocation down to this level. It's ridiculous, patently ridiculous.
Is there any further discussion or debate?
Question.
There'll be a roll call vote. There's been a request for a roll call. Senator Huber.
I wasn't going to say anything on this. It is a small matter, but big things are made of small things. And I believe from what I know in the committee and what I heard, I believe Senator Orsini is right. Thank you, sir.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Senator Tillion?
Yeah, the whole thing is hogwash. It's a sports fish stream, but the thing is, as long as you take care of the fish, it's well worth it. I don't know of any sportsman that's arguing about the expenditures of these funds. Is definitely to their benefit. The first run isn't touched by commercial at all. The second run is a mixed run, according to whether it comes during a closed period or an open, whether how much commercial you take out of it. But it's still a stream that if you keep it up healthy, it's to the advantage of every sportsman in that part of the state. And I say, let's leave the bill the way it is.
Any further discussion or debate?
Mr. President.
Senator Bradley.
I request the Republican caucus.
Would you estimate the time, sir?
All day.
You know, about 5 minutes, I should think.
The Senate will stand in recess for approximately 5 minutes to the call of the chair. Senator Curtula?
I have a couple of questions, Mr. President.
You have the floor, sir. We have before us committee substitute for Senate Bill 399 in second reading. Under discussion is Senator Orsini's amendment, number one.
A question through the chair to the, and I'll wait just one moment, Mr. President. Question through the chair to the chairman of the Resources Committee first, if I might, Mr. President. Mr. President, on this legislation, did not the Resources Committee consider this bill in committee and come out essentially with the report that was before us, before the amendment was proposed? And I'm curious.
Senator Boland.
Mr. President, through the chair to Senator Curtula, that is correct. And we had people there from both sports fish and commercial fish. They were well satisfied with the bill and gave us testimony on it.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtula.
Further questions? I think Senator Butkovich was the, I'm going to assume he was the subcommittee chairman on this subject. So a question, Senator Butkovich. Senator Butkovich, didn't the Finance Committee have it completely before it? Wasn't it available to the membership of the committee to make a decision in this matter before we had this amendment before us?
Senator Butkovich.
Mr. President, Senator Curtula, the Senate Finance Committee always has the money bills before it and give them proper consideration.
Senator Curtula.
It's my understanding also that both committees had it before them, and the bill before this amendment came before us was the legislation they considered. I think we're doing a great disservice. We're starting to stir up problems where they're non-existent. They did save the fish. They took care of the problem, and I don't think we should have this amendment before us.
Senator Orsini.
President, I find it very interesting that the very person who says we ought to quit spending so much time on this issue just at the last 5 minutes discussing it. President, I think the points are made that, in fact, the commercial fishermen are achieving more from state funding than they're putting into it. I think the point's also been made that this is evidently the support of the majority of the members of this body that system continue in effect, and I would ask that
is there any objection? There is objection. Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I think the matter's already had too much discussion. And it's a small, nitpicking matter. But, Mr. President, the reason it's getting so much attention here today is because it does establish a precedent. If the difference were the difference between $1 million and $11 million, it would be a different matter. And Mr. President, the thing that Senator Orsini brings up in his amendment is that the general fund and the fish and game fund should be charged proportionately to the benefits that is derived from both of them. And of course, it's not acceptable to the commercial fishing interest that this happened, because the sports fishing and the sports interests have always supported more than their fair share. I withdraw my objection because I'm going to lose it.
Is there any further objection to Senator Orsini's motion to withdraw amendment number one? Hearing no objection, amendment number one is withdrawn. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and committee substitute to Senate Bill 399 considering the rules of
is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 399, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game, D2 expenses, and salmon transportation, and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion or debate?
Question.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, the remark was made by a gentleman from Anchorage, the commercial fishing interest. He said that the point was made that commercial fishing interests don't put as much into
preservation of the fish as the sportsmen do. And I don't think that's a valid argument. I think if you let the fishermen buy a margin, you look at the raw fish tax and the rest of the taxes, there's the fishermen, the watercraft, the fuel, and the rest of it. I think commercial fishing fleets pay their fair share of the load.
Senator Orsini?
President, I am in the process of compiling some information that indicate that Senator Ray's contention is just expressed is incorrect.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Senator Huber?
Mr. President, I hate to take issue with my colleague from Juneau, but I doubt if even Mr. Himmler could make a case for the contention that Senator Ray just put before us.
Senator Tillian?
I'd just like to make an observation. The importance of an issue seems to bear an inverse ratio to the amount of debate. For God's sake, this is a peanut little bill. Let's get on with the business.
Any further discussion or debate?
Question.
The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 399 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
And so committee substitute for Senate Bill number 399 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move an action item. Roll call vote on the
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 399 with effective date has passed the Senate. Next order of business is messages from the governor. Excuse me, Senator Bradley.
We revert to more pleasant things, the introduction of guests.
Without objection, sir, you have the floor.
I take great pleasure in introducing a pretty young lady that we all know that was one of our outstanding pages last year, Gabrielle Kemper.
Any further introductions? Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a longtime friend sitting in the Park Gallery, Larry Sweet Fairbanks, Senator Huber's district.
Any further introductions? We revert to the orders of the day.
Message of March 7, dear Mr. President. I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 613, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Labor, Chapter 14, Session Laws, 1978. I have signed the following resolution and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Joint Resolution Number 35, Upgrading to State Standards of the BIA's Rural Schools, Legislative Resolve Number 10. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. Those are the only messages from the Governor.
Messages from the House.
Message of March 6th, the Speaker has appointed the following member as an ex officio member to the Advisory Council on Emergency Medical Services, Representative Malone. The Speaker appointed the following members to the Governor's Bodily Injury Reparations Advisory Committee, Representative Carpenter, Representative Rudd. Message of March 6th. The Speaker has appointed the following members as liaison to work with the Senate and the administration on the questions of constructing and financing of the Northwest Alaska Gas Pipeline, Representative Miles, Representative Rode. Senate members appointed February 28, Senator Rode, Senator Sackett. Message of March 6, the House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill 643, Junk Telephone Calls, thus adopting House Bill 643, amended Senate. The House has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. House Concurrent Resolution Number 110 by the State Affairs Committee, extending the proclamation of disaster emergency in the village of Carlock.
Resources.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 425, amended by the Resources Committee, an act relating to erosion control and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Community, Regional Affairs, and Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 551 by the State Affairs Committee, an act providing an exemption for senior citizens from payment for land leased from the state.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill Number 618 amended by Representative Malone. An act relating to the annual report of the State Commission for Human Rights.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill Number 844 by Representative Byrne. An act relating to the donation of blood by those who have reached the age of 17 years.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Judiciary.
That's the end of the messages from the House.
Communications.
There's a communication from Frank Coleman, Chairman of the Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits, of February 28. Enclosing recommendations and analyses of bills affecting the state retirement system with a number of House and Senate bills attached. The new fiscal notes will be put in Senate Supplement Number 15. That is the only communication.
Standing Committee Reports.
The Resources Committee had Senate Joint Resolution Number 46 requesting Federal Energy Regulation Commission to schedule hearings in Alaska on impacts of natural gas pipeline from the North Slope under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, concurring Senators Buttrevich, Mielen, Huber, and Tillian. 46 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee has had sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 473, Special Appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass with an amendment with a new fiscal note. Signing the majority report with Senator Sackett, Chairman, concurring were Senators Homan, Mielen, Orsini, Buttrevich, and Croft. Senator Tillian signed no recommendation. 473 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Resources Committee had House Bill Number 645, Supplemental Appropriations to the Department of Natural Resources, under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, concurring Senators Buttrevich, Mielen, Huber, and Tillian. 645 has a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee had House Bill 744, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the Iditarod Trail Race under consideration and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Sackett, Chairman, concurring Senators Homan, Croft, Mielen, Tillian, Orsini, and Buttrevich. 744 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had House Bill 863, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, General Relief, under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Hackney, Chairman, and Senator Bradley signed no recommendation. Senator Willis signed due pass. 863 has a further referral to Finance. The Rules Committee had Senate Bill 477, Licensing of Sport Fishing and Hunting, and House Bill 735, Special Appropriation to the City of Sandpoint for Runway, under consideration, and recommends they be placed on the March 8 calendar. The report was signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring Senators Coletta and Rader. These two bills will appear on tomorrow's calendar. The Rules Committee had Committee Substitute for House Bill 717, Supplemental Appropriation for Salaries and Operating Expenses of the U of A under consideration, and recommends they be placed on Thursday's calendar. The report was signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Homan and Coletta. This bill will appear on the March 7 calendar. That is the end of the standing committee reports. That should be the March 9 calendar, Thursday.
Special committee reports.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 86 by the Rules Committee by request relating to the expenditure of state funds for the construction, financing, and maintenance of a new capital city.
State Affairs and Finance.
That is the only resolution this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 531 by the Labor and Management Committee by request. An act relating to the administration of a tax preparer's examination.
Does the Labor and Management Committee want a re-referral on that or not? Labor and Management and then Commerce.
That is the only bill this morning.
Brings us to our daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 441 by Senators Hackney, Ray, Coletta, Petula, and Poland. An act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Hackney, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde, Willis, and Bradley. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and a letter of intent, and reports it back as follows. Senator Sackett, Chairman, and Senators Holman, Mielen, and Butrovich signed due pass. Correction, Senator Sackett, Chairman, and Senators Holman and Mielen signed due pass. Senator Butrovich and Senator Croft signed no recommendation.
Senator Holman.
Mr. President, I would move to ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 441 be adopted.
Is there any objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute?
I object for purposes.
Senator Croft has the floor, seeking the floor.
I yield to Senator.
Senator Holman.
Mr. President, the committee substitute for the bill has two main sections. The first is to provide the sum of $30,000 general fund monies to the Office of the Governor. That is to carry an appropriation to the Chatham Aquaculture and Marine Institute program that's being sponsored by Shia Tika, I believe the pronunciation is, the nonprofit arm of the Native Corporation in Sitka. What that portion seeks to do is to provide a pilot project dealing with troubled youth in southeastern Alaska based at an unused cannery facility at the Sitka Bay. The funding is to provide for the building of the program. It's a feasibility study that seeks to employ four people that will develop this program for Alaska youth who have been incarcerated for various offenses. The second portion, sum of $35,000, which is appropriated to the Department of Education and the Office of the Commissioner. The $35,000 is to be used as a pilot program in Anchorage, establish an educational ombudsman. I think there's no question that a lot of times students and parents are experiencing problems that do not find resolution, mainly due to the fact that the bureaucracy of the school system is too large and it's difficult to penetrate. The ombudsman envisioned here would serve as a referral point where both the parents and the students could address those questions and problems. The ombudsman, being familiar with the rules and regulations, the responsibilities of both the students and the parents, could then refer the students and the educational system, to then refer the parents and the students to the appropriate place so that the resolution of those problems might occur.
Senator Croft,
Mr. President, I didn't mean to provoke a full explanation of that because I had we discussed it in finance, but my objection was to just point out that with regard to Section 2, the appropriation for an educational ombudsman, I do feel that is a desirable idea as long as the handling of that program by the Department of Education is done on a very careful basis. We have in the past handled the ombudsman as a creature of the legislature rather than a creature of an administration, and I prefer that. There are some problems that are developing that an ombudsman could address, and if done carefully, I think this may be a very good pilot program. I am going to withdraw my objection on the assumption that everybody will have an equal opportunity to apply for that position, and that this is not something that has been predetermined, and it will be used for a selected purpose in administering these funds. If it is a genuine program of an educational ombudsman, and everybody has an opportunity to apply for that position, and it is administered as a genuine ombudsman program is intended, then I think it could be a very worthwhile project. Certainly the item in section one is a worthwhile project, and I withdraw my objection.
Senator Cotulla.
Senator Croft has made the statement that also piqued me, and that is, it seems to me that we should certainly have some standards, performance standards, requirements, and some method of selection of the educational ombudsman. It shouldn't be done with so very, very little authorization as this section two. I frankly, I believe the idea may be a very good one, but again, we were very careful and set out rules for the state ombudsman, and now we're going to come together with just a line item appropriation, give some kind of direction to funding only. I think the mechanism is unfortunate. Unless we add to it, we must define what an ombudsman is, what his responsibilities are, and how he's selected and who he reports to. Maybe it's all before the committee that handled this. I'd like to hear further on that.
Senator Ray.
Because of the depth of the responsibility of an ombudsman, like my colleagues have said here, I'm knowing a little about exactly what is going to happen, who this fellow's going to be, or what its restrictions are, if any, or what his relationship with the ombudsman's in the legislature. We have PTA organizations, we have legislators, we have teachers' practices, we have the school administrators, we have the state ombudsman, we have the Department of Justice. All these things are available right now to people. Now you're going to set up a special person here, just within the Department of Education, some kind of a headhunter is going to run around, and we don't know what he's going to do. He's not going to be in the direction of the legislature. So, I think I know I would like to have some more information on it than rather than just the floor discussion. So I'd move and ask the manager to simply overthrow the one legislative state.
Is there any further discussion? In that regard, I hope there's be some consideration given as to whether or not this is applied to teachers' disputes as between teachers and administrations, whether it applies to the University of Alaska, students, teachers, administration, whether it applies to the local school districts, the school boards, and that sort of thing. I assume that somebody's given it some thought. I just don't know myself really what that thought is. Senator Orsini?
Mr. President, to point out to the body, page 337 of the journal, the Senate Finance Committee letter of intent indicates that this ombudsman would only have jurisdiction in the Anchorage School District. This brings up another point of a state officer becoming involved in one particular school district problem.
What section, what page in the journal is that, sir?
Page 337.
That's a statement, a letter of intent from the Finance Committee? For the information of the Senate, according to the Secretary, that journal entry is as follows. The amount appropriated to the Department of Education, Section 2 of Committee Substitute for 441, is for the establishment of a position of educational ombudsman for the Anchorage School District. This position will report directly to the Commissioner of Education and will handle the concerns of parents within the Anchorage School District.
Mr. President.
There is a motion to hold over one legislative day. Senator Cotulla?
I support Senator Ray's motion, but I also think we ought to go into it a great deal more than going to get done, then could possibly be done in one day, so that this should be before us again for serious consideration. We spent many years on developing the ombudsman legislation.
Senator Butrovich?
As long as we are holding it over, I think we should take a look at Section 4. And I apologize because I should have caught it in finance. Here we're, in my opinion, we're doing what we've. And some of us criticize the administration for doing, including myself, and that is appropriating beyond the year. I think that when we make an appropriation like this, it should end at the end of on June 30th, and the position should be rebudgeted in the budget document. And I think we ought to take a look at that as long as we're going to hold the bill over.
There is a motion to hold the bill over one legislative day. Any further discussion? Hearing no objection, Senator Ray's motion to hold the bill over is unanimously adopted. Next order.
Senate Bill number 464 by Senator Ziegler and Hackney, an act relating to regional educational attendance area school board elections and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Hackney, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Bradley, Rody, Willis, and Sumner. I have an amendment number one by Senator Hackney. On page one, line 11, after the word school, insert board.
Senator Hackney.
Amendment number one is just a housekeeping amendment. The word board was inadvertently left out of the bill. And in order for it to make sense, it needs to be in there. I would move it again.
Is there any objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Hearing no objection, amendment number one by Senator Hackney is adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an action item to consent to the bill.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered.
Senate Bill number 464 amended, an act relating to regional educational attendance area school board elections and providing for an effective date.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, the reason for the introduction of Senate Bill 464 was in response to a request from some of the REAAs who have been having considerable problems with runoff elections in their district. Elections themselves are difficult enough to mount in some of the REAAs, and to have, in addition, a runoff election is something that goes beyond what many of them want to do. Mr. President, we wrote a letter to each of the 21 REAAs in the state to get their feelings on a bill of this type, and the responses that we received back were overwhelmingly in favor of it. However, we did have a couple who said that they felt it should be up to the local district to be able to do it themselves, and so that language was incorporated into the bill on page 1, line 22 in the underlined language. In order for the school board in an REAA to opt to not have the runoff election, the school board would have to vote to do it.
Is there any further discussion or debate?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Bill number 464 pass the Senate? Senator Ray? Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, the last part of my comments had to do with line 22 of the bill. The ability of the local REAA school board to opt out of the runoff provisions if they so desire. In other words, this is not mandatory. We're not making them do something that they want to do, they go ahead and do it if they don't.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Is there any further discussion or debate?
Mr. President.
Senator Curtula.
That's presumably the then seated sworn in school board. That'd be the only way it could be. You know that we're actually out of office, but we're still sworn in.
Senator Hackney. Is there any further discussion or debate?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Bill 464, as amended, pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
And so Senate Bill number 464 as amended has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta.
President, I move an action item to consent to the roll call vote on Senate Bill 464 and consent to the roll call vote on executive order.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. And so Senate Bill number 464 as amended with an effective date has passed the Senate. Unfinished business. Special order. Senator Ferguson. Without objection, we revert to the introduction. Yes.
Mr. President, I have a guest here from Coxsey, who is a member of the Coxsey City Council, Jeff Smith.
Any further introduction of guests? Any further special orders? Senator Holman.
Mr. President, I'd like to give notice for reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 464.
And the Secretary will so note. Any further special orders? Announcements? Senator Bradley.
President, the Senate Commerce Committee will meet this afternoon, room 207, 130, this building, incidentally. Senate Bill 444, Native Handicraft, Senate Bill 478, Election of Officers under the Alaska Nonprofit Corporation Act, Senate Bill 484, Protecting Public Roads and Highways will be considered.
Senator Curtula.
Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. there will be a meeting posted. There'll be a hearing on the Port Authority bill proposed by Senator Ray.
Senator Orsini.
President, the Committee on Affairs Committee will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 373, an act related to public information regarding collective bargaining by public employees.
Senator Sackett.
Right, 9, permanent fine.
Senator Croft.
Please.
Senate will stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order. We were under announcements. Any further announcements? Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an action item to the Senate adjournment at 10 a.m.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered.